the stillness. Amen.
Thank you, musicians. Well, here we are again.
And wherever you go, there you are.
Famous words of Eli Ortiz, anyway.
It is always an honor and a pleasure to, you know, to talk to the young people, trying to impart them some of the wisdom, you know, that we have throughout the years, but not only our wisdom, but the wisdom of God in our life. See? What we have learned throughout our journey, and maybe some is said that will help you, you know, to journey through your way home. So let us stand and let us, we're going to go to the scriptures. Amen. Because that is what we want to be rooted in, the scriptures. You know, I'm not one of those fiery, nothing against fiery preachers, but I'm not the type of person that appeal much to emotions or feelings. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I like it too when I'm there. You know, if I get, you know, excited, it's because the word will excite me. Not because the man excites me, even though, you know. But it's the word that excites me. When I hear the word, I say amen to the word. Amen. There's nothing wrong with fiery preachers. I like them. I will like to have half of the strength, half of the spark, anyway. But it's not the way it goes, anyway. God made us different. We're all different. We have God call us and build us a different way. It would be sad if we all act the same way and look alike and do the same thing. It would be boring. But I'm glad that God is a God of variety. Amen. So that's why we don't need to compare one with another. Because God made us this way. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies in a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity. It is an honor, pleasure, Father, to stand behind this pulpit, what many great minds have standed, Father. Father, but I'm looking up to you, Father, for the strength, for the wisdom, Father, for the energy, everything that I have need tonight, Father. I'm not looking on myself, but you are my strength tonight, Father. And I'm looking up to you. I will set myself aside, Father, and take over, Father, and have your way in the service. You know what every heart here needs, and you know what the young people need, Father. And I know that you will not disappoint us. You will supply that to us, Father, because you want to. You love us, and that's what you want to do tonight, Father. I will just open my mouth, feel it, Lord, and let it be a blessing to those that hear the word. Not only hear the word, but that they can also be doers of that word, Father. We love you. We thank you. We appreciate everything that we heard, the songs, the special. Father, to set an atmosphere that you can come down and you are welcome enough to walk around, Father. Father, have your way. Just take charge, control, Father, by your spirit tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you can be seated. The will of God, that wasn't my first thought when I started preparing my sermon. In fact, I was going to call it, what is in your heart? But, you know, you start writing and you start praying and you start meditating and God starts throwing thoughts and, you know, inspiring you, and suddenly, you know,
my mind goes one way and my pen goes another way, and then suddenly here we are. Well, I'm going to follow my pen. I'm not going to follow my mind. So it became the will of God. So somebody must need this. So because here, as we read, so talking to the young people, that God has shown such a great mercy to us. That's why we are here, because His mercy and His grace in our life. He loved us. And that's why we are forgiven and washed by His blood. And we are able to stand in His presence. And we are so grateful of that, of His mercy. But Paul is saying, I beg you to go a little bit further than that now. God has done all this to you now. I beg you this to you, to offer your life in a living sacrifice. Your life to Him. Return your life back to the one that loved you and saved you. Amen. And your offering, according to Paul here, it has to be an offering only for God. He is the only one that deserves. He's a worthy one. Nobody else but Him deserves our praises and our worship and our sacrifices. Amen. So young people, not only to offer the praises of our lips, but also we need to please Him. Not only you have to offer, but it has to be pleasing to Him. And that is the part that you play in the whole thing. You see, because He said back in Matthew 5:8, these people draw nigh to Me with their mouth and honor Me with their lips, but their hearts are way far from Me. See, love thy God with all thy heart, but their heart wasn't in it. So when we come to service, you have to bring your total sum of who you are. Your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. You have to bring all of you. Some people come in church and they come halfway. Well, I'm going to sit. And I'm going to, listen. But that's it. No, God wants your heart too. God wants you to offer. Well, I just go to church to see what I can get. Well, you won't get much, I tell you. You come with that attitude. But I want to know how much you have to offer. Because as our brother was talking, our brother pastor, to enter in, he said the place of worship is where God has put His name. But he said there's something that you have to do. Just because He's invited, you cannot just come in and enter. There's something. There's a promise with a condition that you have to do certain things. When we come to church, Paul is saying, be a living sacrifice. So you have to offer something, right? A living sacrifice is not something that you buy, even though that's what Jesus got upset in the Old Testament. He went to the temple and they were selling and buying. See, everything became, mundane. They come to church and they didn't have to worry about the sacrifice, if it was good or not. Let somebody else worry about it, just pay for it. And it became, a stench to God's nostril. Why? Because it became a routine. We come to church all non-challenge, non-challenge. That's what I'm talking about. It's a challenge to come to church. But young people, and also your people, there's something you have to do. And offer all to God when you come to those doors. Not only your sacrifice of your lips, your singing and your praising, but God wants your heart in it too. God wants your strength. Some people cannot even just go, hallelujah, amen. Some people just sometimes go like this. You look like you are, tired or offer God everything you have. You already made an effort to come to church, just give Him all. Whatever is left on the body, if you don't have no hands, then just scream at the top of your, and if you don't have no voice, then use your feet and dance. If you don't have no feet,
then that means because he already took you home, you know? Because even if nothing else, you know, the last thing that we go is your soul. But if the soul is gone, that means I'm gone with the Lord. So, but we have to play an active part. It's not just to come and sit. You have to be a living sacrifice. Remember in the Old Testament that a living sacrifice, in order to please, you know, the whole system of the God has said, the sacrifice has to have no blemish, no spot, cannot be missing a toenail or the tail or missing an ear. It has to be complete. Complete meaning it has to be all as it's supposed to be. Perfect with all the parts. So once you started selling and buying, you know, merchants are good to make money because they do anything just to make money. And people didn't care. That's the problem. People started not caring about coming to the temple and offering the best. Because, the only reason, because they love God. If you love God, you want to offer the best. Not the leftovers. No, let me see how much money I've got at the end of the month. Whatever I have left, that's, I will tithe. Okay, this is not about tithing your people, but you don't offer leftovers. And your people, you know, when you're ready to come to church in the morning, you need to help your mom and dad. You know, you need to be ready. You know, because you're coming to church. You know, happy are those that, when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Don't be something blocked to your mom and dad, you know. Get ready the night before. If you're a slow person like me, I don't like to get out of bed, and it takes me a couple of turns. Make sure your shoes are there, ready, your socks, your everything. Just jump in it and take a shower at night. Don't wait in the morning because you might forget that. You might skip that one. And that's it. Don't create an atmosphere that is going to stop your parents from to be blessed. Help. See, because you are going to come to the presence of our Lord and Savior. And you got to be ready. We don't come halfway. Make preparations. You know, and offer the best. Even though, as our brother Brandon says, you know, put your best dressed on. You know, I will never come, and I'm not criticizing anybody, but t-shirts, things like that, you know, is that your best? I mean, I'm not talking because of young people, some do that. You don't come like that way. I mean, it is like a slap in the face of somebody, you know, because he's saying, come ready to sacrifice and be complete, not missing anything, you know. So Paul continues saying, it's to please him that you come into church. It's not to please the pastor, not to please the church. It's not to please anybody. But the way you come, the attitude, your mental, the way you, it will determine how blessed will you get. We need to bless, to love God to that point that we want to do whatever he wants us to do. And that's what we want to do. We want to obey. We are not here just to see how much we like to get, you know, or to not to do, but how much we can do. Or get away with. That's what I was saying, trying to get to. We want to do the best for God, always. You know, it is not about rules, it's not about commandments, even though, you know, the Bible said, obey his commandments. But it is to also, that when we approach the presence of God, he needs to be pleased. Amen. Amen. Not the pastor, not the church. You must please God. And if you please God, the pastor will be happy. We all be happy. Amen. Amen. So, the draw nigh to me, but the heart is far from me. See, also, as I was talking, do not be shaped by the world.
I'm not talking about, there's only two things that young people are more interested in anything. Fashions. And the trends. And that's why you get caught up in the media. Because that's what Satan knows what it is and he attacks. You know, look at that. Ooh, I like that. Oh, those shoes. And whatever the trend is, you know, we want to be hip. You know, that word probably is an old word now. Probably 20 years old. What are they using today? Cool? That's what, about 10 years old too. Come on, young people, help me. What did they use today? I was dressed up. I was in Michigan. And my grandchildren, you know, they all young, 14 and down. And I went dressed to church in a nice brown jacket with a, you know, a vest and a pant. I mean, I was cool. I think I was cool. And one of my daughters said, "Oh, you look cracker." I said, and then my daughter said, "No, don't worry. That's the word they're using today." I said, "Well, don't try. Don't even try to explain." All right, you know. I went to Puerto Rico after 10 years sometime. I go every year, but it took me almost 10 years to go the first time. I was too busy and I was in the army and I was traveling. So I got home and I talked to my friends and right away they stopped me. Say, "What?" Say, "We don't use those words anymore." "Why? We used them before when I was in high school." "Yeah, but this new ones now." But tell me the new ones because I don't want to look, you know, dumb or anything. So, you know, everything progresses. And you young people, then you progress. But listen, when we come to church, you know, you cannot shape yourself like the world. In dressing, in acting, in talking, in conversing, in anything. You are a Christian and your example was Christ. It was not the world. And you dress accordingly. And you talk accordingly. And you look accordingly. I mean, I'm tired when I go out there. I have to see all the evil that is out there and all the dress. I don't want to see it at church. I mean, that's the last place I wanted to see anything like that. And I'm not getting on dress codes. We ain't got no dress code, but you should please God. You know, when you offer your sacrifice, how are you dressed? What is your attitude? When you come to church, you know, do you come to please somebody else or somebody else will look at you and say, "Oh, you look good, nice outfit," or do you come to see God? I'm not saying that you should dress any old way. I already told you that. Put your best. Not for me, not for your pastor. Put your best for him. Don't shape yourself by the word. Be transformed. See? Don't conform. Be transformed by the will of God. And it says, be transformed here by a new way of thinking. See, the old thinking is out. I don't even want my own thinking. And I don't want your thinking, but I want his thinking. Because that is a new thinking, your people. It is the mind of God in you. Lord, do you like this? Can I do this? Check the scriptures. Check Jesus, your model. You know? I don't want my thinking. I want his thinking in my life. And I want to shape myself according to his thinking. And if you don't know what the thinking is, ask somebody else. Ask your mom, your dad. You think this is okay to go to church? No? Amen? It is a new way of thinking. And it's not the old way. The old way is how? The man of Jesus Christ. Then, when you feel that way, when you love God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength, then you will be able to decide, you know, what God wants for you, from you. Okay? You have to have that desire. Desire to do his will, and then he will give you, you know, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. But why give you something if you're not going to do it? God knows your heart. God knows if you're going to do or not. And he's not going to punish you, but he will give it to you in time. When we meet his
standards, his thinking, his will tonight. When he knows, and you know what is good and pleasing to him, and what is perfect, and the only one perfect is God. Amen. And then you have to decide tonight. Well, we are by depending. You know, I understand the amount of faith, and I understand more. I've been longer and older, but there's an amount of faith that God has given you. Everybody has an amount. We're in different spiritual levels, but God will call you, and God knows where you are, and God knows what you can do with what He has given you. God is not trying to ask for something that you cannot deliver. God will not put burdens. He said, take my yoke that is easy and light. He's not trying to put burdens on your life to create, you know, I don't feel comfortable, or I don't know if I can do this. No, God is not trying to do that. God is trying to help you to navigate this journey. Amen. He's not trying to put weight on you, more burden, so you cannot finish this race. The other way around, He carries you all through. Because He's taking your burden, and He's His light. Amen. So, Christ, we know that we are part of the body of Christ. And God wants to use you. Your people never said that you don't have nothing to do in the service. Let me tell you one thing. You are part of this body. And this body, every part has something to do. So don't come to this church because mama brought you. You have a part to play because you are part of this body. In whatever amount of faith has given you. So don't sit there, well, you know, go to sleep, I'm tired. But then go to sleep a little early at night because your part has to be played when you come to church. Well, not only them, I see the adults too. Anyway. You have a part to play. So, adults are part of the body, but you are part of the body. You are not left out. Well, I'll be part of the body when I'm 20, 26, and I'm older. No, you are now a part of this body. And we need you. Because when you play your part, and I play my part, we play my part, God then can come and be whole completely and bless us. So never think that you don't have nothing to do in this service. Because you're just as good in the sight of God that I am. At your level. And God will never put more, you know, on you that you can withstand. He knows where your faith is at. Exactly. He will not let you go far enough that sin or can overcome you. He says, you know, with the temptation, the way out will come. See? But what I want to tell you tonight is that you are part of this body. You need to come with that mentality when you come to the church. That means you have certain responsibilities just like I have and we all have. When it comes to the service, you got to put your part in it. The pastor was talking this morning about position and place. You have a position and you have a place. But I'm just 12 years old. 13. Well, what does that have to do with anything? Samuel, go back. Eli, the priest. You know, check the Bible. He was 12 years old when he heard a voice. Because God can speak to you at your level. You don't have to wait to be 40 or 60. Amen. If you wait that long, you lost your seal. You lost your strength. Sometimes we lost more than that. Sometimes we lose the pleasure too that we had before when we were younger. But see, you have a part, and God will also give you, you know, like an adult, your part that you have to play in the body. God will give you gift, singing, you know, whatever, playing. I was so glad because when we went to Brother Jude and the banquet, well, who was the one helping? That kind of thrilled my heart. They have a part. If they wouldn't play their part, we wouldn't ever eat.
And physically and spiritually too. If they don't play the harp, my God might not honor his word in the service for you. So you have a mindset that you have a part in this service. And the way you approach God, it will decide. Just like us. Don't put it all on your dad and mom. Don't put it on me. Because you have a part to play too. So you need to decide, you know, that you're going to love God with all your mind, with all your soul, with your, the thought of some of yourself, not with parts. But I'm young and I can't do nothing. What the little boy that, oh, I don't know if he was a boy or a teenager, but he has, what, 5 fish, 2 loaves, 3 loaves? And that's all he came and offered? But you can do the same thing without asking you for a lot. But whatever you have, whatever God gave you, offer that. You have a good voice? The same. Don't feel shame because, you know, your voice hasn't matured and you might sometimes go, ha, too quick. You know, don't worry. You sing. You're not pleasing me. You're pleasing God. And God wants to hear your voice. And God wants to hear you. Amen. Don't. This is not just for old folks. In Spanish, you have the word juventud, means young, you know, the young people. But then I call the old people viejentud. Now, you don't understand in English because it's a Spanish kind of a mix. Viejentud, viejo, mean viejo, means old. But I put the viejentud so I look a little more, you know, young. Yeah. So, you have a part to play. You know, Jesus, how old was he when God called him to his ministry? He wasn't at 33. At 12 years old, he was out there already. About the Father, business. You need to start. You have wasted already a couple of years. Or 3 years. That sounds funny. I wasted almost 50 years. Anyway, I wasted about 30 years and you... Don't wait until you get old. Today is a day that is acceptable for you to serve the Lord just like the rest of us. God is expecting from you just as much as he's expecting from all of us. So be part of the service. Don't feel like you are left out. Oh, well, I'm young. And people don't. Yes, God cares. Enter into the service. You got a part to play. And I'll tell you, if you do that, you're going to see a different services. Because if they don't respond, I will look at you all the time. Forget them. I go with you. If you respond enough. May God bless you. You know? Amen. I want to use Luke 10:25-28 as a context to continue this thought about God's will. The will of God. And let me read. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, Jesus was talking about the resurrection, about life. But, you know, they didn't understand what he was talking about. We're talking about the Old Testament. And he was a lawyer on top of that, too. A lawyer of the law. And he said unto him, what is written in the law? I'm not going to give you the answer, but go and search it out. How readest thou? Then he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind. So what did he left out here? Your whole being has to get in, has to enter in. But I'm tired, I had a hard day, and, well, I don't know what to tell you. Find a way to get a little rest before you come to church and enter in. You know, I hear the pastor sometime, you know, you guys better wake up. Come on, help me out. He don't have to be, he don't have no need to be making noise. If you come ready to worship the way you're supposed to come and ready, in fact, he probably had to tell you, yeah, come down, sit down, okay. Be nice, huh?
That it would be the other way around. Hey, you know, hold your peace. I mean, yeah, let me get down. Because you are praising and saying amen. But we have one amen over here and another amen. Your people, you're going to make them shame. You say amen. And I know, that is something that is not of your nature at this age. But put him to shame. Why don't you say amen? Why don't you say hallelujah? I believe. You know? Let's see if they're going to wake up or not. They will notice. I will. I said, but he didn't stop there. He didn't stop there. They said, wait to validate. If you love God with all your heart, with your strength, with all your mind, it's a way to validate that. How? Well, let me see how you love your neighbor. It has to be a way to validate that. He just don't say that and then there's no way to measure if you do or you don't. The way you treat your neighbor, who is your neighbor? Anybody that crosses the path of your life. See, the way you treat your neighbor is going to determine how much you love God with all your being. That's it. Simple. He didn't left it out. Because they were trying to test him anyway to begin with. So if they find a loophole, the lawyers, they like to find loopholes on the law so they can get into it. So Jesus said, I know they're going to find a loophole, but let me, before they find one, love your neighbor as yourself. They still wanted a loophole. So who is my neighbor? See, they were trying to be right anyway. But here tonight, you know, I like to tell you that the way you treat each other, the way you treat your neighbor, the way you treat at school, at work, whatever you do, determines if you are doing the will of God in your life. Because the way you love God, you know, it says you love everybody else. You cannot love God and not love your brother. You know what that means. You're a liar. Huh? That is the test if you really love God. See, I cannot know if you love. I cannot see it. That's a feeling. That's the intimate thing. But I can see how you treat your brother and your sister, and I can tell you you really love God by that. And you cannot get upset at me and say, no, I love God. I can't see my brother even in pictures. No, well, there's something wrong. Because you have to love even your enemy. Now, Jesus didn't leave nothing out. Nothing now. So Moses, because this came from the law, the lawyers went to search out the law in Deuteronomy 6:5, and that's what they got this. And thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. See, Moses was exhorting the Israelite to respond to God with devotion, with dedication, with enthusiasm, you know, with consecration, you know, commitment, passion, you know. That's the whole complete being. You know, passion, that's the power of the heart. Are you passionate when you come to church? Now, I'm asking you, you have to act like I act when I get passionate. You know, we all react kind of different. But, you know, some people are passionate about eating food. I am. Because being passionate means you have a desire for something. You know, you're thirsting, you're hungry, your body thirsts and hunger for things, appetite, cravings, you know. And sometimes we have passion for certain things, for certain food, right? So, when we come to church, where is your heart? Where is your passion? Is God your all in all? That's why you're coming, because my heart is a desire and thirst and hunger for life, for Him. Are we passionate? Well, if we are passionate, then we should do everything in our part to be devoted to God. Amen. To not lose the enthusiasm of His coming. You know? We're supposed to be consecrated when we come to God. we should make a commitment. I mean, how passionate are we if here tonight we have service, you know, your heart determines your passions too, how much passion you have for God. Because Brother Van said, as long as those doors are open, He's here. And where's your heart? What is your passion? Your people, what is your desire? No. What are you hungering for? What is your appetite?
Right.
Are we have appetite for all the things of the world, and not these things?
Right.
You know, if I don't come to church, I probably just like missing a meal.
Right.
Spiritually.
Right.
Because this is what we get fed.
Right.
I mean, this is the reason God said all that way, so you can come and eat, and you can, you know, renew your strength.
Right.
And you hear the word of God. Oh, but I can stay home and listen. No, that's good. Tapes and read the message and read your Bible and pray. That's good.
Right.
But that's not how God set it up.
Right.
Because I told you before, as I got parts in this body, and every part has a play. Every part needs to be used for something. They're not there because, it looks good and nice and cute. No. It's the same thing with the body of Christ. Every person here is a part of a body, and you have a part to play.
Amen?
You have a part to play. So, passion. Be passionate. We are passionate with footballs and baseballs, and we get a day and we get so enthusiastic and we get so excited and we do the wave and we do everything. And listen, do the wave in church. I don't mind. Every time you hear something that is, amen, praise the Lord, do the wave here. I mean, you already have practice. You do it out there. And you do it for the world. You think it's funny, but it's not. Where is your heart? What is your passion? For the things of the world or for God? For church? When it's open, anytime. See, what you do determine what is in your heart. If you love God with all your soul, your mind, your heart, with everything, nothing left out. Like I said, sometimes we come to church and we leave our brain someplace else, you know. And that's good. And that's good. We don't want you thinking. Just hang it out there and when you go, put it back. Leviticus 19:18, this is what the lawyer was quoting. Thou shalt not avenge, not bear any grudges. It says, against the children of thy people. You know, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Amen. I am the Lord. Avenge. The Bible said that vengeance is mine, said the Lord. So if somebody do anything to you, you're not supposed to, I'm not going to get even. No. You need to love your enemy. And you need to pray for them. And let God decide what he wants to do. It says, vengeance is mine. And bear no grudges, complain, bitterness, resentment, hatred, malice. See? Again, the children's. Again, one another. See? So we have to come with a mind that is pure. Because if you have some grudge against somebody else, make it right before you come to the doors. Young people, if you know somebody, the Bible said, if you bring your offering, that's why we started, sacrifice your offering, and there you know that someone, not you, that someone has something against you, not you against them. Just go to him. Don't wait for him to come to you. Tell him, sorry, did I offend you in any way? I didn't mean it, but, you know, can you tell me? I want to make things right. Because if he don't come because he's offended and you don't go,
right.
And then you come with your offering and you come on Sundays and praise the Lord, you think that's going any far? You never go past the roof of this
right.
church.
Right.
Vengeance is mine. Somebody do something to you, let the Lord, take it to the Lord in prayer.
Amen.
And second, hold no grudges. And if there are grudges, we need to take care of them. Amen? That's what it says. Thy neighbor. Love thy neighbor as you like to be loved. How many of you like pain? How many do you like to be told bad things? Criticize.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't like that, don't do it to somebody else.
Right.
That is the golden rule. Do unto others what you want them to do unto you. So no grudges. So if there's anything, we need to fix all that before we come to church.
Amen.
And again, this is the part that is the physical part, the mechanical part. This is the natural part. Because the natural part is going to be together with the spiritual part. You love God and you love His people, you will hold no grudges. That's what He's saying. And if you do, we make mistakes. I understand that mistake part. I do. And if we do, then we just go and make it right.
Right.
We should be no grudges, no difference, no malice, no resentment among the people of God.
Right.
If the love of God is in your heart and you love God with all your heart, your mind, and your strength. Amen. Now, let's take those four elements right quick, and let's expand a little bit on it, and then we take all the four points and bring them back at the end. But let's take love, and let's take just the heart, the soul, the mind, and the strength. Let's start with love. Now, fulfilling the law through love. I know that we don't go by the law. We go by grace. But Jesus says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, you want to love somebody and you don't know how to love somebody, love them as God loved you. So the way you love somebody or someone else is according to the measurement that you understand and have a revelation that God loves you. See? Jesus loved you. Unconditionally. I'm glad that He did that. I didn't deserve it. But He loved me unconditionally. He didn't ask nothing from me. You need to do this. Well, that's what they wanted back in the Old Testament. Give us the law. You know, they wanted to do something to earn. They wanted to do work to earn, you know, God's, you know, approval. But that's not how it works. You know, we make mistakes, like the pastor was saying this morning, but God still loves me. And He's not with a baseball bat waiting for me to do a mistake so He can. But the Bible says He chastised those that He loves. We might have to pay the consequences, but that don't mean that He hates us. You know? So, fulfilling the law through love. A new commandment. Now, John, 1 John chapter 2, 7-11 said, brethren, I write not a new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had heard from the very beginning. This is John. Went to the Isle of Patmos, and after all that revelation, he came with one word. You know, it says, love God, love your brother. So he said, ye have not heard that, you know, this is not the first time. Because God is love. Amen. Said, the old commandment is the word which you have heard from the very beginning. See, and we're going to get to that. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which this is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shines. He that says, he is in the light, and hated his brother is in darkness even until now. So after you have this revelation that you are one of them,
You cannot hate anybody. I don't care what they do to you. Because he didn't hate you neither. He took pity on your condition. And he loved you. But he that hated his brother is in darkness. So that means you don't have the revelation yet. See? You know, the revelation hasn't shined. The word of God hasn't shined in you yet. And walk in darkness and know not where he goes, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Amen. So the light of the body, Luke 11:34 says, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when that eye is single means where is your focus at? On God? On what is good? Or someplace else? The whole body also is full of light. If it's single. See? So where is your focus tonight? In Christ? In the Word? Or someplace else? But if we are saying that we are focused and we believe this message and we have a revelation and that is our main focus on, then we should have no trouble loving somebody else. See? But when the eye is evil, the body also is full of darkness. So some people think that they, and I'm not making fun out of it, but some people think that they have this belief about how the message is supposed to be, and they have their own revelation. But they're still walking in darkness. Because they don't have the light of this word, the revelation from God. They said that it's from God. But how can you have a revelation and you cannot even get together with your brother? I don't understand that one. Another one said that they are in darkness. But the thing is, if we were walking in the light, then we should have fellowship. We will love one another as we understand the love of God for us. That he has for us. John 5:1-3 says, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that love him, that begot, love him also that is begotten. So by this we know that we love the children of God. By this we know that we love. I'm giving you, this is God's will. This is how you know things. He says, when we love God and keep his commandments, see, that's how we love the children too. Because if you love God and his commandment, you have no choice but you love your brother. So if you believe this message, if you got passionate for this message, if everything is God has revealed to you, you want to do his word, then you really love God that much, then you have to love also the other part. Because with that other part, the machinery cannot, you know, this is a body move. So we need every part. I love my finger and I love my toes and I love everything else, my ear. Can you imagine, you know, if I decide that I don't want you and I don't want you, you know, then I'd be hearing from this side halfway, you know. You cannot do away with any part of your body. What part of your body you would like to go? I mean, doctors don't care. I remember in my days, everybody, you know, in the family, they take their tonsils, yes, thank you. You know, they said that we don't need them. Wow, God, you made a mistake. I mean, so, I got mine, and I'm fine. I don't know. Oh, but we don't need, we can take if you get here, what is this part called? Huh? Yeah. That's the end of some, you know, the end of the, we don't need that. It's there because it has a reason to be and it has a use, right? I mean, that's the way I look at it. You know, the less the children, God has a use for them. You cannot just disregard it or not pay attention and not offer them, you know, some time. Like, this is good, you know, for you. Why? Because we think of you as just everybody else. Amen. We need to include you, right, in the service. We don't need to just put you aside and say, because you're young, we cannot use you. So when? Tell me when so I can see how old I have to be. You're old enough to be used. Amen. We should never ignore our young people. In the service. And young people, you should never ignore us. Enter in worship. You know? Oh, well, I don't want to act like an old folk. What you mean act like an old folk, you know? I prefer to act like you. Like a young, then you say, but look at now, I think like us. Hey, if you love me, you love God, yeah, nothing matters. What matters is that we have a good time in the Lord. Amen. And you are doing your part to set up the atmosphere so that can happen, so somebody can be blessed. It's what matters. Anyway, John, 1 John 4, 7 to 13. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. So if you know that love is of God, don't you want to do the will of God? To love somebody else? Love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and know God. See? Nobody can know God unless you are born again, because you cannot love unless you experience God's love in you, because he first loved me. Now you know how to love. He that love not, know not God, for God is love. He says, and this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Amen. There is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us first. So now we know how to love. You know what? Before he had to even do surgery in us. You know, before we came to the Lord, we had a stony heart, Ezekiel says, right? So you could not love any. You can't even love yourself. You didn't even, nothing went in and nothing went out. That's a rock. Talk to a rock. It will ignore you. And that's what we all, at one time, we just walking around like a stone. God's word will not go in, and God's word will not go out. And that's why you never came to the Lord, when you didn't have a change yet. Because God has to give you a new heart. A heart that is tender. A heart that can be passionate to the things of the Lord. A heart that will love God, and you can love yourself, and you can love others. But that surgery was raised. I got a new heart when I came to the Lord. He gave me a new heart, and he gave me not a new heart also, but he also gave me a new spirit. And then he put his spirit in me to keep me in control. Amen. Before, no spirit. I mean, what the Spirit's going to do with a piece of stone? But Jesus said, you know, if you don't worship me, even that stone, he can do. But for God, it's nothing impossible. I'm glad that he could do that with the stone, because he did with a stony heart. We were a bunch of stony hearts. And I'm glad he could do that. Bring him to life. Amen. Brother Branham says, now let me finish the... Beloved, if God so loves us, we ought also to love one another. That's a commandment, young people. And that's the will of God for your life. No man has seen God at any time. But if we love one another, God dwells in us. So, is that the case? Where are you going to see God, actually? Here. Because if you love your brother, and you come and you love your brother, and you love God, then this is where you're going to see God. What do you think we pray all the time for the presence of the Lord to come? It is you that need to bring it, because it's your love, your relationship with God that is going to bring him into the service. You do your part, I do my part, and God will come. One person can ruin the whole service. But he says, and his love is perfected in us. Not only, you don't stop there, but now I'm going to perfect you. Because without perfect love, nobody's going to make it. And that is our goal, and that is our objective. This journey is to get to the point that we have perfect love, like Jesus had.
So you cannot get away with anything. It's love that we are looking at, that we focus. That is our goal and our objective, is that we love the way God loves. And that's a big full mouth to say. Because I don't see myself, but he can see myself. He can make me that way. He says, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, then God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. So you want to see God in this service or in any service? Make sure you go there with the right mental attitude. Love your brother and love your sister. And God will show. Because he said, you want to see me? Love one another. This gets simple. What is so hard about that? But if you have God in your heart, it's not hard. It says, hereby now we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given up of his spirit. Amen. Because without him, it's impossible to achieve these things. Brother Brown says, I will restore, said the Lord. So if you want to get close to God, here's the question. How many came here to get close to God? Oh, man, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever the rest of you. See? You're not here. Your body's here. But yeah, what about your spirit and your soul and your heart? How many want to get close to God? Let me see your hands. Okay, that's better. Just get close to love. It's your secret. It's not something mysterious out there. It's very easy. You want to get close to God? Then you love your brother and your sister. You love your enemy. You love. And then, he says, you get closer to God. So what do you think all this journey is all about? About perfect love. About love divine. See? We'll see God. And that is our last step. What is the second last step before the capstone comes down? Brotherly what? So until we get that, we're going to even be capped. Oh, forget about the rapture and being capped. Why don't you first achieve brotherly love? And then the rest will come. That is the last thing to go. It's right there. Okay? So you want to try something? You want to achieve something? Let's get up to the brotherly love. Because without it, we are not going to be caught up. So all these disagreements and all these fights and all this pulling apart, that's not going to make it. I want to go home. I mean, what happened? The rapture, we're closer and closer than ever before. If the rapture is closer and closer, then it should be more and more and more love in the bride. Amen? And now we have some more discord. God is going to have to do it. I understand that as our pastor said, God is not going to push you. God is not going to make you. You don't want it. Something has to change though. And that is not God, and it's not the word. That's you and me have to change. Or let God do the changing. We're going from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory so we can become love. You cannot get away with it. If you don't achieve that, you're not going to make it. So see how important it is that you love God and you love your brother and your sister. It says, Brother Brown says, just love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, with all your strength. Just wrap yourself in a bundle of love. Watch the man that you didn't like you. It says, watch the man that he did not like, now like you, is what it means. But you didn't do that. It was the love of God. Wrap yourself in the love of God, and your enemy will even love you. You didn't even have to do it. Because when love projects, people will know.
You cannot make this up, and you cannot manufacture that. Satan cannot manufacture. So if we wrap ourselves, we get closer to God, and that's what we're seeking. We're seeking the same God. God is love. That's what I'm seeking. Then he says, when people see you coming, the way you treat them, you are nice, you are kind, you are helpful, you want to give, you don't want to take. You know, sooner or later, even your enemy will love you because he don't have to steal from you. You're going to give it to him. Yeah. That's what the Bible said. If somebody wants your cloak or your jacket, just give it to them. And if you they lend something, want something, you give it to them, even though they don't give it back to you. Oh, yeah, the enemy will love you for that. I don't have to steal anymore. He's making it so easy on me. Amen. Now, I want to skip this right here, real quick. Let's jump to the heart. I'm gonna skip this part, but I want to read what Brother Brown says here. God provided a lamb. He says, "What is it? Love conquers all things." Are you sick? You need healing? Whatever you have need, you have a need financially. I don't care what need. Love conquer all things. How much do you love your brother when he's in a situation? It says, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and faith will accompany that love. And I was thinking about, you know, a pastor, because that's the only pastor we have. We don't want another one anyway. So, you know, when you go out there and you ask him for him to pray for you, you know, the reason you get healed is because he loved you. Because when he loves you, you know, love projects and faith takes over. Sometimes I wonder why so many people we pray for, and I know the will of God has to be there. But when you go and pray for somebody, if you cannot identify with their feelings. Brother Branham, that day in Mexico, that old man with no shoes, and he started identifying with his affliction, and he even wanted to measure his food and his shoe. I mean, he wanted to give him a shoe. I mean, this is when you love a person so much that you want to give him whatever he has need. Right. Even if you had to give you stuff away. Right. Now, some people will take advantage of that, but we don't take advantage of anybody. But what I'm saying is, if you don't enter in because you love that person, faith cannot take over. The reason you get healed is because your pastor loves you and loves this congregation, and then faith takes over. Now, Jesus said, your faith has healed you, but that faith was activated by the love of God for that person. So sometimes I wonder if sometimes we pray for people and things don't happen. Are we entering in? Are we loving them that much? You know, when people in our midst are sick, do we call? Do we visit? Do we find out? Do we love them enough that I want to know if I can do anything for you? Oh, but we're going to pray his prayer request. Okay, let's pray. But that's not love. That is praying for the request. See, I don't understand. Not all the time we can do this thing because they're far away. But I'm talking about the local congregation first. Amen. Conquer all things. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and faith will accompany that love. I like that. Because it don't leave no room for nothing else. Right. That I did, that you did. Oh, I pray for you. No. Did you love me? Right. When you pray for me? Did you care enough for me to love? When we see the homeless are there, you say, well,
Anyway, they don't, you know, they can find a job. That's how we love people. You don't know the situations. You don't know how he got in that situation to begin with. And then we're judging already, see? That's not love.
Right.
How can you hurt someone? How can you help someone if you don't love them? And if we do, then it's not love. It's just a matter of, tax write-off. When I go to the Goodwill, I want to help people, needy people. Give me that paper for my tax write-off. Yeah. Well, I'm going to give this money away to help it, but I need a paper for. What is the tax write-off of? Because you love to help somebody. Hey, it's good. Anyway, it helps anyway. That's our law, so we're not doing nothing against the law. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. You know, I'm not a hard person to understand. I'm very simple. Now, let's talk about the heart quickly, because I'm running out of time. Already right out of time. Anyway, heart. Acts 13:22. David, a man after God's heart, who will do all my will. So let's put it this way. If you're doing all God's will, it's because you love God. You know, people, if you want to do God's will, you need to, as David, a man after God's own heart. You know, in those days, there was no Holy Spirit. It was only an anointing. I bet you that David, every time he got anointed, he loved it. Because he felt closer. I mean, that's God in him, anointing his body. He must have loved that sensation, feeling. And I know we don't go by feelings, but he must have loved it so much that he said he was after that. Right. After the heart of God. Because he felt so good. And I'll tell you what, if you do the same thing, you will feel good. Amen. You will feel good. I know I do. I know I do when the presence of God comes in the service. I know when we get anointed. You know, that is the only part of my whole entire life. I want to tell you the truth, that I'm very happy. When I'm anointed, when I feel his presence, amen. When he touched me.
Amen.
And you too, you cannot even explain it. But you like for that to come back again. And I don't care. People say, but you cannot have it in every service because it become common. No, not to me.
Right.
I wish that the anointing comes every service.
Right.
Because that's the love of God, that's the heart of God.
Right.
And that is what's going to make me do what he do, to love others. I need that anointing. So David said he was after God's own heart. See, and the Bible says in Romans 10:8, but what said it? The word is nigh to thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So, if it's in the heart, the power is in your tongue. Okay? To bless somebody or, right? To destroy somebody or to build somebody. And that's all depends on how much you love the person, how much you love what you're doing. See? But if God is there, you will not destroy. You will build. You will bring somebody up that is down. See? Because that word is there. And God is there. So he has to produce that. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and is sharper than two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrows and the discerner of the thought and intents of the heart. We need to have the Holy Spirit because without it, you cannot discern good from bad. Everything is in the heart. The word is there and everything there, but without the Holy Spirit, you will not be able to discern because it's the Holy Spirit that is the discerner in you. So young people, without the Holy Spirit, you cannot discern evil from good. See? Not on your own. Because Satan is very tricky. He make it look like. He can imitate. But with the Holy Spirit, our discerner, he keep us from those bad things. Brother Brown says, why in divine love? When divine love is projected, sovereign grace takes its place. My brother, sister, there is only God wanting to do in your life. Thus, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and believe every word he says is truth. And when you come to, let me turn this page, we're not using computers, so at the end of the road, you can go, and you cannot go any further, then divine sovereign grace will be projected. And I put Enoch there. Enoch got as far as he could go. Yeah. And then he was no more. Right. We want to get out of here. We need to achieve this.
Right.
You don't have to. You just let go and let God.
Amen.
See? Okay, quickly, a moment. It says, the mystery of the bride. Let's talk about 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast to the form of sound words which thou hast heard me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Okay, amen. And without controversy, it's 1 Timothy 3:16, great is the mystery of godliness. You know what godliness is? It's just to be like God. God was manifested in flesh, justified in spirit, seen for angels, preached unto Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up to glory. Now, God, the Christ was the mystery revealed of who? Of God. So what is the mystery of godliness today? You are the mystery of godliness today. You are the mystery of Christ revealed, the bride. So if you are the mystery of God in flesh again, then we should walk and talk and move just like he did, just like Jesus did. Amen. Perfect unto the entire belief in the world, receive up unto glory. Even the mystery, Colossians 1, 26, 27, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generation, but now is made manifest to the saints. What? The mystery of godliness. She is the mystery of Christ revealed. Amen. To whom God would make known what is the riches, the glory of the mystery among the Gentile, which is Christ in you. Here we go. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Christ is here, in, and Christ comes out. And that's the mystery of godliness. To be like him. Amen. It says, Colossians 2:2, that their hearts might be conformed, being knit together in love. That's what that spirit doing there. That's what Christ doing you. So you be comforted, being knit together in love. Do you feel that you've been knitted together? Or you still feel kind of far away from, you know, Brother Henry's over there and Brother Joe? Do you feel that you? Listen, this is what happened. We see ourselves twice a week. So when we come to church, we put our best behavior. And that's good. Because that is the behavior that we want. Right? But we don't want to imitate we don't want to just do it as a form of, twice a week. We want to do it all the time when you are out of church. The way you act here is the way you should act there. Right? Okay, I'm glad you agree with that. So you see me once a week, and I look good, you know. I mean, my best behavior, I got my thing on top, my halo, and that's why Brother Pastor said, put your halos down. You know, that's good. The way you come is the way that you go out.
Right.
The same way you act here, you say, well, you should act out there in your homes.
Right.
Put your best behavior.
Right.
So what happened is now, so it says over here, you see, that the heart might be comforted, knitted together in love, and unto all riches and the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, and of the Father and the Christ. So, what I was getting at is this: you don't know my humanity. You don't know what I do at home. You don't know what I do at work. You don't know when I get upset. You don't know when my wife pushes my button. You don't know when I do. No, you don't know my humanity. So when you see me walk into church, the only thing you see is the nice side of Eli. Everybody looks good. Nobody made mistakes. So what happens is you don't know my humanity. So when you see me making a mistake out there, the first thing you do, you say, wow, I cannot believe that. And then you start talking about Eli, you know. I saw him. He was doing this. Now nobody wants to talk to me because he just went around. But that's my humanity, see? So if you and I will know each other in a way out there, outside, you know, we find out that you and I, we are now no different. I made mistakes. You made mistakes. So why we are so surprised when somebody makes a mistake? Because you're just as human as I am. This is how we should act all the time. But the devil sometimes comes and trick us, right? And we do things that we don't want to do. We are not, sin because we want to sin. We don't wake up in the morning, we want to rob a bank, or we don't want to do something bad. We don't think about those things. What we think is about the word of God. We do make mistakes. We get caught. But the thing is, as soon as we see somebody's humanity, then we start criticizing. Why? Because I didn't know it was that way. Well, what I'm trying to tell you guys is that the one that sits next to you and your brothers and sisters, you know, we're all the same. We all are struggling. We all need to overcome. We all fighting our fights out there. So why do you get surprised when somebody does something carnally, fleshy? He's still your brother. That don't change anything. He's still your brother that come to church with a three-piece suit and it looks nice. The only thing that you saw aside, remember what happened in the Old Testament when Balaam wanted to show the backside of Israel? Well, yeah, you would have seen the backside of people. And you find out, well, I don't believe that. Well, believe it. We made mistakes. But this is how we want to be. This is how we want to be. And we are trying by the grace of God. I need to finish. So, the soul is the nature of your heart. In fact, I have already said the heart is sitting in the soul. That is the seat of the heart. So whatever your soul is, that's your heart. So if you're not converted and you have an evil, the Bible said that all the wicked, all the things, that what defiles a man is not what goes in, but what comes out of his heart. That's where all the evil, the wicked is. Lust and the whole thing. But when that heart has been regenerated, now it's in the soul now, is Christ is in the soul, God is in the rightful place, then the nature of your heart is the nature of God. So, Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing and rupture deep before, asunder of the soul and the spirit, see? So, and the discerner. So when God is in there, in his rightful place, then you can discern. Without that, you can. Strength. And I'm my last one. Strength. And mind. Strength. Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise your youth, young people, but be thou an example of the believers. In word, in conversation. No, he's not talking to me. I'm not that young. He must be talking to you. He says, despise not thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer, everyone that believes this message. In word, you are a written epistle for every man to see. In conversation, watch what you say. You know, in charity, it's better to give than what? To receive. It says, in spirit, be sweet, be kind, be gentle. In faith, believe God all the time. And the last one, in purity. Because without holiness, no one is going to see God. Strength. Mind. Ecclesiastes 11:9. Rejoice, O young man, and in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the way of thy heart, and in the sight of thy eyes. But now thou, which for all these things, God will bring this into judgment. Amen. Ecclesiastes 2:1. Remember now thy creator in the days of the youth. Don't wait until you, like me, until I got old. I was 30 years old. I wasted all my youth. I have wasted half of my strength. Serve him now that you are young and you are strong and you can do more than I can do for God. God can take you and use you as a preacher, as a missionary, whatever. But it says, remember you in the days of your youth while the evil days come. Not. What he's saying is, you better, you know, do it before the bad days come. Right now you're young and you're tender, you know. But life makes people hard. After a while, life makes you miserable, sometimes bitter. But now that you are nice and sweet and tender, don't wait until something happens to you to say, ah. He said, not the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. I was reading this, no pleasure in them. And I remember Sarah and Abraham. God, I'm going to have a baby. We didn't even have no pleasure in each other anymore. You know, and those things are like, how are we going to have a baby? But that happens sometimes to us as Christians, you know, in the spiritual sense. You know, because we're supposed to, you know, give birth to Christ in our life. But sometimes we get to the point that we have no more pleasure to come to church.
Right.
Sometimes, where was the enthusiasm? Where was the pleasure? Where was the passion? That you had before when you was younger.
Right.
See? So we come to church and look like we're sitting, but there's no pleasure in being with our lover. And then we sit there like, I already heard that before. There's no pleasure in coming to church. That's why they don't come to church. They lost their pleasure that they had once before. I remember before, most of these people, they used to come to church and they used to always be in fellowship and the whole work, and suddenly they started kind of, what happened? They started losing the pleasure for God. And that happened when you get older. But I can understand that, you know. In the physical, sometimes in the spiritual, sometimes we can come, sometimes, you know. But you don't want to wait till you get that far. Don't lose your pleasure for the things of the Lord now that you are young and you're strong and you can do it. And you can serve the Lord with all your life, with all your heart, with all your mind. I mean, yeah. Remember now your creator, Ecclesiastes 2:1, in the days of your youth. Amen. Conclusion. Then Jesus answered back to the lawyer of the law. He says, and he said unto him, thou hast answered right. Go and do this, and thou shalt what? Live. Go and do this, and thou shalt. Don't let it go in one ear. Go and do that. Take your everyday life. I don't care. When you're sleeping, when you're eating, when you're going to school, when you're walking around life, and place it before God. When you wake up in the morning, let it be your prayer. Give yourself completely to God in the beginning. Don't wait until when you're praying for your food at noon. In the very beginning when you wake up.
Right.
Offer yourself in the living sacrifice that day for God.
Amen.
Don't wait. Don't wait just to come to church to be a living sacrifice. Every morning when you wake up, offer your life, God. help me, lead me, guide me, show me, help me. Pray, God, I give you myself an offering this day. Forget about yesterday, it's gone. Forget about tomorrow, it's not there. Every day, give yourself as a living sacrifice, an offering unto God. God, you said, and I'm going to do it. Oh, you're going to fall, you're going to make a mistake. God, understand. Get up, forgive me. God, take me again. Say, offering. Be walking, talking. Be a walking, talking, breathing witness of Him. At school, at work, anywhere you go. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Do not become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Another way, forget about the, I never took it out. I'm glad you're reading it with me. Anyway, first thing some people do in the morning, and I know you guys don't do it, but it's the phone. You know, do not become, you know, adjusted to the culture. Listen, young people, God first, everything else second. Oh, let me check my BFFI, whatever, you know. Why don't you check with God first? Get your Bible or something or pray. Get on your knee. Offer yourself first to God before you start the day. I guess some of us, we get up in the morning and we get all the stuff and we take off, you know. Do it. This is a daily habit which you make. It says, become well adjusted to your culture that you fit into without even thinking. That's what the devil wants you. He is the God of this culture. And that's why he tried to attract you, your mind, you know. So you lose the other mind. And you don't want to never lose the mind of God. Fix your attention on God. You will change from the inside out. He will change you from the inside out. Really recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Ask God, God, what do you want from me today? That is someone that loves God. That is someone that is passionate about God. That is someone that his mind is readily, you know, to serve God first. See? Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Lord, what did you want me to have to do today? Start there every morning. Oh, no, I got at least... This first, second, I got a plan, you know, and God is laughing. You got a plan? I would love to. I had a lot of those and never came true. See, it says, readily recognize what he wants from you. You quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around, always dragging you down to his level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you. Develop well-formed maturity in you. Amen. Shall we stand? Let us bow our head. Father, we thank you once again. Thank you for giving me the strength and giving me the energy to stand in this pulpit, Father, and bring, Father, your word to your people, Father. I am more than honor, and it's a pleasure, Father, to be able to serve you, to be able to be used by you in the big things, in the small things, Father. We just want to be used by you. We want to be, Father, in this world that we live in, we want to be written epistles. We want to be Christ to others. We want to do your will. You have a purpose, Father, for us in this life. You have a purpose for the young people, Father, and they're seeking, Father. They will, now that they understand a little bit more about the will of God, they will go to seek you in the morning, Father. They want to know what your will is into their life, so the decision throughout the day will be a little easier. Sometimes we like to attack the day, Father, without even first talking to you, Father, about the day. You created that day. It's yours, Father. And I think it's yours for us to do your will in that day, Father. I know we have to work. I know we have to eat. I know we have to go to school. But in everything that we do, let's bring honor and glory. Be witnesses of Christ in our life to everyone that crosses our path, Father. Let us be written a piece of we are today. We are today the mystery of God revealed. Christ in us, Father, is God in flesh once again, revealing himself, Father. Father, we want everybody to come, everybody to be saved, Father. Like the Bible said, God says he wants everybody to come to the knowledge of salvation, Father. We are not the judge. We are not saying who can and who can't. We just want to be used, Father, for your purpose, to finish the work that you already started, Father. Father, we thank you. We love you for this church, for the people that are here tonight and those that are streaming, those that could not be here, Father, for whatever reason. Father, we ask you to be with them, Father, to bless them, to keep and to protect them, Father, love them, care for them, Father, as you care for each one of us tonight. Father, we ask you to be the center of our life, Father, that you be the center of our universe, Father, that we don't do anything, nothing, before we consult with you, before we have a little talk with you, Father. Father, thank you for what you have done in our life, Father. You have changed our hearts, Father. One time I couldn't even love myself, and now I can love you, and I can love myself, and I can love others, Father. But that is your work in me, Father. And I thank you, Father, because I was yearning for something. I was out there lost without Christ, without hope, Father, until you touched my heart, Father. And everything changed in that day, Father. I thank you, Father. Thank you for loving me. When I was unlovable, Father, you still love me. When I was a child of wrath, you still love me. When I was against you, when I was rebellious, you still love me. And that's what brought me in, Father. I can never find someone like you that can love me even with my faults. But you know my heart and everything in me. You know exactly who I am. Father, but tonight, whatever is left in me, I want to give it to you. Father, for your honor and your glory, use it, Father, so you can bring glory to your name, Father. I want to do your bid, Father, your will in my life every day. I want to bring glory and honor to your name in everything that I do, Father. Thank you. Now, Father, and as we dismiss and we are going to our home, Father, let us remember these words that we heard tonight, Father, and let us not be just hearers, but let's be doers of your word, Father. Father, come to our life and have control. That's what we want. Control our life, Father, from the top of the head to the bottom of our feet. We love you, and we thank you, and we ask you all these things in the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You're lovely.